Praise God. Hallelujah. I am thankful for this privilege of blessing the Lord with you in this room. This afternoon, I'm coming to us from the book of Psalter again, the book of Psalms. I love to share with us by God's enabling from the 25th Psalm. And as we cue it up here, I'd like to read it in your hearing. And those of you that can view your screen, you can follow with me. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide it forever. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth and forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their heart. For as such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Jerusalem. The New International Version, it gives us a slight variation in the verbiage. Let's read. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to the crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. As the psalmist David wrote to the people of God and the word of God that yet speaks to you and to me, he used analogy that was familiar to those to whom he wrote. And the psalmist is using Mount Zion, this Mount of God in Israel, as an analogy as he speaks to the people of God. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but shall endure forever. This psalm here speaks to us. It says, those who trust in the Lord, those who are called the righteous of God, the psalmist is speaking of, yes, those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. As the mountains that surrounds Jerusalem, so the protection of God will be around about us, his people. I don't know what your days were like these last few days as we, as a nation here, have been just coming out of this period of election and awaiting the election results and the like. There have been some shaking in our nation. There have been some disruption in the faith of some people. Like you, I too have been bombarded with phone calls with those that were in a celebratory setting and those that were not so much in a celebratory setting. We see such a divide not only in our nation, but we see such a divide among the people of God within the context of the church. And yet the word of God would have you and me to be reminded that if our trust is in God, we are likened unto Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, that cannot be removed. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. My sisters and brothers, this afternoon, I want us to be encouraged from God's word as you prayerfully open your heart to receive what God is saying to you and what he is saying to me. Three kinds of people we find within this 125th Psalm. Those who trust in the Lord, yes, verses 3 and 4. We also find in this Psalm those who compromise with the enemy, And thirdly, we will find those who deliberately go forth and do wrong. Those who will deliberately go forth and just engage in that which God is displeased with. This afternoon, your faith and my faith must remain in God. We must take time in the Word of God, allow ourselves to be inundated with what the Word has to say. And the Word of God would have you and me to be reminded that when our faith is in God, when our trust is in God, despite what's happening around about us, we shall stand. You shall stand. The body of Christ shall stand. Like a mountain that cannot be removed, faith in God will keep you and keep me standing. As we see in this 125th Psalm, verses 1 and 2, that is worth reading again in your hearing. They who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. In our nation, there's some who are losing hope. There's some who are becoming fearful. There are others whose hope is in the new leadership that we are having, just like so many others have placed their hope in the current leadership. My sisters and brothers, inasmuch as God has called us to live and to strive in the practical world, yes, where we are, He would have us to keep our faith and our confidence and our hope not in man, but in God. I said not in man, but in God. I don't think it's coincidental that the Lord has allowed all of this to be culminating amidst this pandemic that we are all, not as a nation, but as a world, experiencing. Not only are we experiencing a pandemic as a world, but the world, yes, the world, watch with bated breath as to what the outcome of America's election would be. I am saying to us this afternoon, in light of what is coming, my sisters and brothers, this Bible, this book of God, gives us an insight as to what the future holds. The Bible lets us know that judgment is coming, and it begins in the house of the Lord. The Word of God lets us know that God is still on the move, and His purposes are still being formulated, because what He declares is what He shall bring to pass. It's not by accident that you are alive in this time in history. God has so ordained it that you and I be here so that He can work in us and work with us and work through us so that we become indeed an oracle of His, an ambassador of His, a voice that would herald to the masses the good news of Jesus Christ, where hope ought to be. Hope ought to be in the Lord. Oh, some of us have watched over the last several weeks and months these mass rallies that political parties have held. Some of us have watched people congregating in masses, inasmuch as we are being dissuaded from coming together as a church in a physical structure of a building. We have all watched and seen the rallies around the country with great numbers of people congregating to hear a man speak. But we've also watched, have we not, masses of people as they picket and as they riot and as they march. Yes, we've all seen it. And we've all seen the display over the last 2 days in our city. New York has come alive again in terms of its activity in Times Square and the like, as people come out in great numbers in a celebratory manner. Why? Because their trust, their hope is in a personality, is in a party, is in a color. I am saying to us, my sisters and brothers, first and foremost, our hope must be in God. Would you be assured that God is yet in control of your heart and your life? Can you say that? God, you are in control of my life because I've released it to you. I've surrendered it into your capable hands. And because He is in control of your life, you will not be moved. You will not be shaken. You will be like Mount Zion. Are you standing this afternoon? I said, are you standing this afternoon? There ought to be no winners and losers if your confidence is in the Lord. I said, if your faith is in the Lord, you are winning, 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 winning. Not because man says it, but because God's word says that you and I are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us the enabling and the strength. Are you on the winning side? I'm not asking if you're on a man's side. I'm not asking if you're on the blue or the green or the yellow side. I'm asking of you this afternoon, are you on the Lord's side? There is an expiration date upon the lives of each and every one of us. And you, like I, we do not know when our expiration day will come. I am saying that there are many, yes, even last week, who thought that they were going to be here this week, but they are not. They have been called into eternity. I don't know when God is going to call me home. I don't know when he's going to call you home. But this I do know is that there's appointed unto every one of us a time of transitioning from this life into eternity. I am here this afternoon to encourage you, my sisters and brothers, so that we can encourage others to be ready, to be ready. I said to be ready, to put your hope in God, to put your trust in God, to put your confidence in God through Jesus Christ. For there is only one name given on the heaven by which all men can be reconciled, by which all women can be reconciled to God. And that is through the person Jesus Christ, who bore our sins upon himself on Calvary's cross. He paid the debt that we owed and we could never pay. He have made it possible that you and I can be reconciled to God. And now he has given to us. I said he has given to you a ministry. Yes, you have a ministry. No wonder we encourage you on the prayer meetings to lift up your voices. No wonder we encourage you, girl. Encourage you, brother. Encourage us to share, to lift up our voices. Why? Because God has given to each and every one of us a ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. And if you and I are going to engage in the ministry of reconciliation, where we allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us to reconcile men to God, women to God, children to God, young adults to God, then we have to be willing to open our mouths and allow the Spirit of God to fill it with that which we shall share, that which we will share. You have a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. We can't afford to be distracted. We cannot afford to be shaken in this hour. This is an hour of power, because you and I are called to be plugged in to the God of dunamis, the God of power, who is in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. How bless the Lord. I said he is the hope of glory. I'm not speaking about something temporal. I'm not speaking, my sisters and brothers, about whether the system of our government is going to allow citizenship for this one or for that one. Ah, you have a message that goes beyond an American citizenship. You and I have a message. It's a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a message of citizenship for all eternity with our Savior and Lord, the creator of the universe. And you and I are going to run with this message unashamedly. Faith will keep us standing. I'm asking, are you standing this afternoon? Are you standing? Or have you allowed yourself to be shaken based upon political affiliations, based upon the promises that men have made and women have made? Listen, my sisters and brothers, God would have us to pray for all people, because you and I, our ministry is that of seeing all people reconciled to God. And when we encounter the vilest of sinners, we, like Paul, should say, hey, I don't have to look for the vilest of sinners. I was before the Lord ransomed me. But when we experience people who are just detestable, people who we can't stand, either because of their sinful practices or because of their lying, which is also sin, or whatever it is, rather than us being turned off, it should turn us on to prayer. It should cause us to want to see the power of God bring transformation to such a personality, whether it's a woman or a man. I say, when God allow you and I to encounter people whose attitudes and whose behavior and whose sins are just repugnant, may we be reminded that God, who did not turn his face from us, but who reached out and laid hold of us and transformed our hearts and our lives. Had it not been for the grace of God, we can still, like the old saying, there goes I. That detestable person, there goes I. Had it not been for God's grace, the deplorable sinner that we can see others pointing at, had it not been for the grace of God, there goes I. These last years and months have shaken the faith of many believers. It has brought about a divide, even sadly, within the church. You see, God is still in control. And so many have wasted time and have forfeited relationship over what was being displayed in our nation over the last few years, when we could have used our energy and our strength to pray and to encourage, and then to stand and see the hand of God bring about the results that only God can. Are you obeying? You see, faith will cause us to say it as God says it. The Bible tells us that we are to pray for those that despitefully use us. The Bible tells us we must pray for those that consider themselves our enemies, or those who may even treat us as though we are their enemies. What the Word of God says, it says to pray. It even went on, as you know, in the New Testament, said they hit you on one side of the cheek, you should turn the other. But if you and I lose faith, my sisters and brothers, as if we lose faith in our God, we're not going to do what he says. We're not going to obey. I can't pray for her. You don't know what she's done to me. I can't pray for him. You don't know how he has treated me. Faith in God will cause us to obey, knowing that God is able to make every crooked path straight. He's able to use all that was meant for our evil. He, by his glorious power, is able to turn it around for his glory and for your and my good. That's why we can obey what he says. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those in authority. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray, pray, pray. Faith in God would allow us to obey him in our attitudes, and yes, even in our prayers. I hasten in closing this afternoon, my sisters and brothers, from this 125th Psalm. Yes, we find that faith keeps us standing. Faith keeps us obeying. And faith in God will keep us praying. I said faith in God will keep you and me doing what? Praying. Yes, I am truly encouraged by each of you that have come consistently into the room of prayer for 33 weeks. You have been coming with me and with the leadership as we together seek the heart of God. I'm encouraging those of you that are yet to come into the room of prayer. Come, my brothers and sisters. Can you imagine what supernatural things God yearned to do when our nation was just falling apart and people were losing sleep and getting angry in their spirit? When the devil was using this whole vice of division in the church because you are of one party and you are of a different persuasion? It ought not to be, because we look beyond the system. We do. We engage with the system, and we should. Your vote count. Yes, but we look beyond that to the God who is sovereignly in control. And so people were dancing in the streets, and champagnes and marijuana and all the like they were reporting were being shared loosely, and people were celebrating. But I and you, we have been celebrating, or we ought to have been celebrating down through the years, down through the weeks, down through the months. Yes, because God is still God. That's why we come into the room of prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 7 to 8, giving thanks unto him. Come on, is he a mighty God? Say to me, what a mighty God we serve. And because he is mighty, who gives me and gives you 24 hours in every day, God knows how I waste some of those hours. What about you? Haven't you wasted some hours doing some stuff that were frivolous? I'm encouraged to be able to take an hour away from something else and plug into my sisters and brothers in this virtual space of prayer. It's not to tickle my emotions. Prayer is serious time. Prayer is warfare time, isn't it? Prayer is worshipful time. I invite you, my sisters and brothers, come into the room. Come in and join with us in our prayer to the Father. Come and exercise your faith that results in your prayer. We have a hope in God, and faith in God is what keeps us hoping. I said it keeps us hoping. Despite what our eyes see, it keeps us hoping. Despite what our ears are hearing, it keeps us hoping. Despite those who make promises to us and don't keep their promises, it causes us not to get angry with them, not to be upset with them, because we look beyond them. We look to our God. Oh, yes, we're open that our Father may choose to use a variety of means to provide, to bless, to give us the support. But we're not looking to man. We're looking to God, looking unto Jesus, who is the author, yes, and the finisher of our faith. Faith keeps us hoping. Are you hoping? We are hoping not in man. We are hoping in God. Our confidence is not in man. Our confidence is in God. And so I speak to you as my brothers and sisters in closing this afternoon. Now as a nation, now as a world. Because, you know, we're in a global setting already, getting ready for this one world government system. Yes, that's what we're moving towards. That's what the Word of God says. And no government will be able to stop it. Because God is going to allow the devil to go but so far before he rains down judgment. And that's true. According to God's Word, it is. My brothers and sisters, now that we have gone beyond the election, will you and I give ourselves to what God has called us to do? And that is to pray. To pray for leaders. To pray their salvation. Not just so that we will enjoy a peaceable life, but to pray their walk with God. Let's believe God to save souls. When I look at the amount of people that we have within our Congress, the amount of names that we have within our Senate, and then those that are in the Supreme Court leadership, and then those that are in the White House. Oh, they are souls that we ought to be praying for. In a matter of weeks, if not months, yes, we will have one way or another a changing of the guards. And for those of you that have not been praying, I'm encouraging you, I'm imploring you to pray for salvation, pray for the souls, not for the temporal stuff around. This world is going towards damnation. And a new heaven and a new earth is coming. Oh, that may be news to some of you. That's why you need to stay in the book, stay in the Word, listen to the Word of God. Because God's Word is coming to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God shall remain. This day, my sisters and brothers, let's hold fast to God's Word. Let's hold fast to what the 125th Psalm reminds us of. Amen. That they who trust, not everyone now, I said not everyone, but those who trust. Just make sure that you are part of the those. Those who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. God is so awesome in his word and how he allowed it to be put together, penned just for you and for me. Nothing will be able to shake you and I because our trust is in God. I said our trust is in the rock, and the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I who trust in him will be able to stand. You and I who trust in him, our faith will be established and strengthened. And because our faith is being strengthened, we will be able to stand, we will be able to obey, we will be able to pray, and we will be able to hope. Are you standing? Are you obeying? Are you praying? Are you hoping? And if you're not, if you found yourself drifting back, then there's hope this afternoon as we close for you, yes, even you, to be reconciled. For you, yes, even you, to come up higher in God. So where are you? Standing, obeying, praying, hoping? If you are in the first category of those that are trusting, then you are. If you're compromising, or if you're just allowing it to rip and just whatever will be, then you're not standing. Or that which you're standing on is faulty, is sinking sand, is not the rock. If you're not holding fast to Father, if you're not allowing your faith to be established on him, then you're not going to be able to obey, nor to pray, nor to hope. There's room for you, my sisters and brothers, in as much as there's room for me, so that together, let us stand. Together, let us obey. Together, let us pray. The Lord bless you as you respond to his word. The Lord bless you as you forget about the failures of yesterday and allow this day, this eighth day in this 11th month, to be a new beginning for you with regards to your faith in God that will enable you to stand and to obey and to pray and to hope. Would you pray with us? Would you bow your hearts right where you are? And if you are already standing and obeying and praying and hoping, would you pray for brothers and sisters who are a bit shaky right now in their faith, who are compromising? Would you pray for those? Let us pray, church. Lord, we give you thanks. We pray that you'll continue to bless us, that we can be the blessing to others. I thank you for your sustenance of this ministry. I thank you, Father, because it is you who have begun this work, and it is you who are faithful to complete it. I pray with my sisters and brothers that it will be our testimony yet again in this new month, that every bill, O God, that is outstanding will be paid, that, Lord God, yes, that food would be purchased, and that rent and utility bills will be paid. Father, as a body of believers, we are praying one for the other, that you will bless us, O God, so that we will have a testimony yet again, continuously, of your provision in our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you as you go. It is he who make his face to shine in you, being gracious unto you. The Lord our God lifts up his countenance upon you, and he grants you his shalom. He grants you his peace. May the peace of God now goes with you. Rule, rest, and abide with you and your loved ones. And the people of God says, amen. Faithful is he, and therefore we worship him. God bless you.